few discordant thoughts about the movie Time Bandits before it's ruined. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Jeff Atwood, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. My connection to movies in my very early years mostly revolves around a movie theater called Movies 4 that was another exit down the highway we lived on. In a mall, now gone, called the Duchess Mall, Movies 4 offered all of the standard fare through the 1980s that you would expect would be playing. If I wanted to see a movie, either with my parents or without, I'd be dropped off at the mall, and I'd go to Movies 4 before walking over to the Dream Machine, playing arcade games, and waiting to be picked up. This was a core part of my childhood, the privilege of walking through an interesting mall and doing my rounds of what interesting microcomputers there were, seeing what other stores there might be, and then going to Movies 4 and the arcade. The movie Time Bandits was directed by Terry Gilliam and is one of his earliest works. It's a story of a boy who one day has his bedroom invaded by a bunch of tiny men who have stolen a time map to the universe and are being pursued by a supreme being of unknown origin, where they pull the boy along, take him through various parts of history that they are stealing things from, and then ultimately leaving him back at his house. I'm going to spoil this movie, so if you haven't seen it, you might get some sort of insight into my mind if you were to stop and go watch it now. Ultimately, after traveling through a variety of locations and being pursued by a being of evil, this band of bandits is rounded up by the supreme being until the boy wakes up in his room, now on fire, and ending up outside with his parents gone. That's a very rough description of what goes on. And maybe if I was to put it down as a simple summary of the plot, it wouldn't seem like much at all. The movie is scheduled to be remade, possibly as a series that will play on a streaming service, which is fine. It's simply a story. It can certainly make more money for its creators and be presented to a new audience. Maybe a nod or two to the people who were in it before, or maybe not. Regardless, I consider Time Bandits to be one of the foundational blocks of my world outlook. That's either weird or pathetic or odd when you hear that. But I had not experienced an outlook like Time Bandits when I saw this film. I'm only 11 years old. I have been living in the suburbs with my parents, and I'm wondering if this is everything. I found that entire idyllic world to be suffocating, even if I later understood how beautiful it was, having the trees surrounding our neighborhood where we would be able to walk around freely, visit waterfalls and creeks, and play around in the street because cars almost never came there. That was in many ways heaven. But at the time, it could feel a little limiting. Enter Time Bandits, where the outlook of the film is that a normal little boy who suddenly finds himself in an extraordinary situation is being pulled through eras of time by this small band of men who claim that they are the custodians, the workers for the supreme being, that they're assigned different parts of creation and reality and they work on them. And one day they found the map, a key to traversing through the entire world of space and time, where if you knew where to stand, a door would go up, you'd walk through it, and you'd be in another place. This in itself was captivating. But also, Time Bandits had a view of how the world worked that I did not ever see before. That everything just was. And we worked within it and came up with what we were going to do, fomenting that we had solutions that we cobbled together, maybe not the best ones, maybe not the worst, and we just muddled through. It was only much later, when I actually interacted with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, that I saw a similar outlook, the idea that everything kind of happens in a great or terrible way, and it's not necessarily based on justice or fairness, but just might be the way things are, and we had to work within that. It's a very, very weird movie. The evil presence is trying to use digital technology, computers, and plastic digital watches as a wedge to take over the world and fill it with evil. The Supreme Being, when you meet them, is at best distracted, almost placid about the world around them, saying things that don't make sense and really only interacting for a minimal amount of time before wrapping everything up. At one point, the boy finds himself in ancient Greece, where he interacts with a king, played by Sean Connery, giving him a sense of family and belonging that the child automatically grabs onto. And while he has found what he thinks of as a new and glorious home, the little men show up, cause crime, and disappear with him against his will. He is pulled between different eras, including meeting Robin Hood, Napoleon, and then ultimately facing down in a battle between evil and this group of bandits, where cowboys and tanks and toys all fight to a destructive, smoky finish. At the time, I didn't quite understand, but his room, with all of these different parts and parcel of a young boy's life, contain hints of what's going to be in the movie, the toys, the arrangement of them, clearly playing out that this is some sort of dream, that he is constructing this world in his mind, and he is traveling through it. Everything about this movie changed me. Besides the chaotic way they would play every scene with different people running in different locations and talking over each other, the fact that there was no clear goal, the fact that they were just going through time, stealing what they could, and doing it with no real stated purpose other than a sense of getting back at their boss, just was very much refreshing to me. The idea that you would walk through lands both fantastical and historical, just moving around and finding your place in it, watching things happen, in a world that was foggy and weird and dark and barely understandable half the time. Time Bandits the movie was filmed at an incredibly low budget, but it looks like a work 10 times that budget, something Terry Gilliam did pretty well in a few subsequent movies. That sense that the world extended in every direction and we were seeing a part of it, it blew me away. As I've moved through the online world, I saw parallels between Time Bandits and bulletin boards, these different pockets of worlds built by individuals cobbling together their vision of an unheralded amount of creativity and then opening up through these portals of telephones to the world. That I could travel between Michigan and Florida, Oregon, Washington, California, and then back again, just had this overriding sense of power and arbitrary luck that would make me find these other worlds. There was no supreme being after me, and there was no evil coming from any direction, other than the companies wondering why their phone bills were so high from a certain user code. I was on my own, feeling like a true time traveler. And when I went through these different locations, I, like a time bandit, would gather everything I could, put it into my bag, put it on a diskette, and walk away. I did that hundreds of times in the 1980s, building what would be the foundation of textfiles.com. That sense of saving things, of grabbing things, came from a fear that the worlds would disappear, but the aesthetic feeling in my mind of connecting to a bulletin board system, reading the text as it went by slowly, and then finding their text file section and pulling everything down. It feels a lot like the underlying world of Time Bandits. Time Bandits has a very odd ending. After gathering up this evil presence that has been stopped by the Supreme Being, he's turned into a pile of black rocks that people are warned against touching. They put them into a postal box to mail back to the Supreme Being. Yet, when the boy wakes up in the family home that's on fire and he's outside, he sees his parents find a chunk of evil. He yells at them, and they explode. And the boy is left wandering meaninglessly, with his parents disappeared. That's how the movie ends. This idea that you cannot depend on anything, that you don't know what's happening next, that there is this overriding anarchy, this chaos that is ruling the world. That was where I learned that lesson. From the cobbled-together aesthetics of this movie, which felt more real than anything I had seen, more real than any of these well-constructed, expensive movie worlds, all the way through to its muddled and bizarre message, Time Bandits changed me. I internalized everything it was teaching, intentional or not. So when I hear that a new version is coming out, that they're working on some sort of remix, that's fine. It'll cause people to remember the original movie. The new one will have some attributes people like, but it will be a relic of its current time, the time of the 21st century, when things, in some ways, have to make sense. And the aesthetics aided by these computers and the ironic technology that the original movie railed against will seem, to me, a shadow of what the original work taught to me. What I was back then is not what I am now, and the role that movie played at that time in my life may have been a role that it didn't play for anyone else watching it or watching it since. But that, to me, is just another proof of the chaos, the unpredictability of the world, and how when we find anything that makes us feel like we have a map to it, we clutch it very tightly and we run away from the threats of an all-powerful, completely inscrutable world about us. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bekoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, Martin, Sembiance, Benjamin Guts, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Don't touch that. It's pure evil.